You're listening to Business Matters.
Welcome to Business Matters from the Santa Fe Chamber of Commerce. I'm Simon Brackley. I'm here every week at Talk 1260 KTRC, speaking with local business people, talking about the community, what's going on in the world of business. Big news for our organization this week as we finally moved our office. We have moved after 10 years at the Santa Fe Factory Outlets. We have moved to St. Michael's Drive. We are at 1644 St. Mike's. We are behind Carl's Jr. next to Rob and Charlie's Bike Shop in the St. Michael's Village West Shopping Center next to the University of Art and Design. It's a great new office, great new location. We've got plenty of parking. It's central. It's visible. And we invite you all to come by and visit us. We're still working out of boxes at this point, but bear with us for a couple of days. We'll get straightened out. My staff has done an outstanding job getting us moved, and I'm actually going to plug Santa Fe Moving and Storage. Those guys helped us move this week, and they did just an outstanding job. 10 out of 10 for those guys for customer service, hard work, reliability. We were very, very pleased with the role that they played. So we've moved, and now we're looking ahead to our next events. We are hosting Business Over Breakfast on Friday, September 7th. We will be at the Courtyard by Marriott. We need an RSVP to 988-3279. It starts at 8:30 if you'd like to come to that. And then our business after hours will be September 27th. We will be at the Christa St. Vincent Cancer Center, which is on Zia Road. It's behind Albertsons off of Zia. And we invite everybody to come out and network and see that fabulous facility. It's Thursday, September 27th, starts at 5:30. Just a couple of legislative or advocacy issues. One is there's a plastic bag ordinance floating around the city, an idea to outlaw plastic grocery bags. We don't think this is a good move at this point. We'd like to see more education and information encouraging recycling. We'd like to encourage grocery stores to accept plastic bags in exchange. We want to see those be reused and then recycled. We want, of course, to encourage people to bring their own bags to the grocery store, but we don't think it's the right time for additional regulation on businesses. We don't think it's the right time for a 10-cent tax on paper bags or whatever it might be. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it voluntary and educational, and we can keep the trash out of the landfill. And one other thing is the Los Alamos National Labs issue. Their funding is being threatened at many levels, and we are very involved in the effort to maintain that funding for that organization. Over 10,000 people work at the labs. Over 2,000 people work for lab suppliers. That revenue filters all the way down through our economy. We have a busy season here during the tourist season, but the rest of the year, LANL is one of the main things that keeps our economy rocking and rolling. And we are very supportive of LANL and the mission and keeping that funding going. So I'll be talking more about that in weeks upcoming. And my first guest today is Ryan Parker. He is business banking manager for Wells Fargo. Welcome, Ryan.
Well, thank you, Simon. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you here. I don't want to talk about federal banking regulation, but there's certainly been some changes at the federal level over the past 3 or 4 years, and Wells has been affected, as have all banks. What advice do you have for someone now who may be looking for a loan for a business under this new environment?
You know, the challenge with the new regulations is the time that it is taking for it to trickle down to the customer level. We don't understand yet all the implications relating to the Dodd-Frank legislation and other pieces of legislation. So the best advice I can give for a consumer is just come in and talk to your banker. Most of the regulations aren't going to affect them on their day-to-day business. So don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Don't stress about it. Let us as the bank handle the regulation we've been given. Yep. We'll interpret it. We'll do our best to understand it. And if it affects them, we'll let them know.
And you'll sit down with a business person and go over their financials, look at their situation to how you can help them, maybe send them away to get more information or whatever.
Yeah, we will make sure that anything that is necessary for them to know will be provided. I'm sure they'll love all the little fine print pieces of information they'll receive. We do hope our consumers will be more informed, that they'll take the time to read that information, but they don't need to worry about whether it will be provided. The banks are being affected in that we're needing to probably increase staff to handle the load. and to make sure our consumers are informed the way they need to be. But come on in. We have personal advisors. That's all we do all day, is to make sure the customer understands what they're looking for, to help them get where they need to go, whether that be through a depository, cash management, or a loan. So come on in anytime, and I'm sure we'd be happy to help.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about that relationship, because I think perhaps second only to your doctor, your banker, if you're in business, should be a very closely trusted individual to be able to look at your entire financial situation to determine whether it's family, whether it's perhaps going through a divorce or selling a business, someone passing away, a will situation, those kind of things.
Yeah.
That's what you do, is to deal with people in those kind of situations.
We do. Life is going to throw curveballs at you all day long. So we function under similar rules as other financial professionals, in that your information is going to be considered very private. It's going to be kept safe and secure. But come on in. We can't do our jobs well. We can't help you if we don't understand the full picture. It's like a doctor. If you tell him one symptom, but you don't tell him the other four, there's probably going to be a misdiagnosis. So come on in, share with us everything you're comfortable sharing and more, and we'll do our best to help guide you in the right way. Our goal is either to save you money or make you money. That's it. We're a simple financial institution. We may seem big because of the name Wells Fargo, and we're nationwide, and we provide that benefit. But like any other banker in town, we live here. We work here. You're our neighbors. We care. So come on in, sit down with us, and we'll find a way to make a difference. We will.
And, of course, the advantage of being with a big organization like Wells is you can handle mortgages and trusts and loans and all components, savings, whatever it might be. You can look at someone's overall situation and assist them.
We can. We have every tool necessary to help you out. If we don't, we'll find a way to get it for you. We're always trying to innovate and improve. We do provide the national footprint, but like I said before, we live here. We work here. We are one of the larger employers in Santa Fe, and we try to take that to heart and make a difference in the community. And, you know, you and I were talking earlier, what is the biggest challenge related to that as well?
Yeah.
Well, the biggest challenge is, you know, turning someone down who is a neighbor, who is a friend, who does work here, and for one reason or another may not qualify for what they're looking for, or may desire something that we may not be able to fulfill. That's hard.
Or may just be in a time situation where they need to get some other things straightened out before they're able to come in and do business. Obviously, people are looking at property they might own or other assets that may have changed in value and, again, may have split through a partnership or all kinds of potential complications.
We have a customer that we just approved the other day. We denied twice in the last about 18 months. And those were hard, but we worked with them. We showed them how to adjust balance sheet, maybe where to focus on some of their income. And they're approved. They're ready to move forward. So sometimes it's just a little bit of patience to move forward.
So I'm going to give you the opportunity to plug Wells. What if I'm shopping for a bank, why Wells Fargo? We have some other excellent banks in town.
We do. It's a great town. I mean, really it is. And I know many of the other executives at the other banks, good, good people. We try to differentiate ourselves, obviously, in service. So we do our best to directly take care of the customer and provide them the service they need. As a big bank, our biggest advantage is the fact that we have all the financial products a customer could be looking for. Personal, business, anything you can. I used to joke and say, if you can dream it, give me a call. There's probably something close to that we can do for you. When you're sitting there at your office and you're moving cash around and you're wondering, I hate doing this or that, there's good probability we have a service that will support it or maybe take that work off of your back. So our biggest advantage is really that, our ability to find a product that's going to make a difference for you. And then our goal and our commitment is to make sure we provide it with top-notch service.
Let's suppose somebody has an idea for a business, a small business. Perhaps they're, again, going through a transition in life. Now's the time that they want to go into the business world. What advice do you have for them? What's the first step?
First step, I would say, get a team together. You have, just here in Santa Fe, you've got phenomenal professionals. You've got legal professionals, CPAs, banks, friends who are going to know a lot about all the different areas you're going to have to come to know. As a business owner, your challenge is having to wear 30 different hats every day. Well, put a team together and take the time to sit down with each one of those professionals who you trust, and they'll guide you in the right direction. But don't be afraid to come in and ask questions. Don't be afraid to say, this is something I want to do. How do I get there? We're going to be able to help.
And also, I think, to recognize your own shortcomings. People go very, very good, very creative in their particular area. They may be a great chef or a great sculptor or a great designer, but perhaps they're not so great at accounting or marketing or the financial world like you are. And I just think it's critical. So often I hear of a business that's struggling, it's because they're not asking for the right kind of professional help, which is what you're describing.
And don't be afraid to ask a question. There's no dumb questions. Just, we're going to work you through it. We're going to help you get there. And you're going to make the decision. So take everything, all the guidance with a grain of salt, and put it together with information you've received from other wonderful sources, and move forward.
And I also just want to plug the chamber, because when it comes to looking for those kind of professional experts and assistants, that's where we can help with referrals. We have 800 members who are in business in town. Many of them have been in business for a long, long time. We're familiar with these local businesses, and we can refer you, whether it's an attorney or a CPA or a banker, we're happy to make those referrals and try and find you the resources you need. And again, as you said, it's all confidential, complimentary. That's part of the service that we provide.
Yeah, the service and the coaching is still free.
That's exactly right. I'm speaking with Ryan Parker. He is business banking manager for Wells Fargo. We're coming up to a break, but just a reminder that we have Business Over Breakfast on Friday, September 7th. Starts at 8:30. It'll be at the Courtyard. Our Business Over Breakfast gives every attendee an opportunity to stand up and speak about their business. If you come out, bring your one-minute elevator speech, and we usually get between 40 and 80 attendees. You're going to have to eat breakfast anyway. Why not come and have breakfast with the Chamber? It's this Friday. It's September 7th. It starts at 8:30 at the Courtyard. We need you to RSVP to 988-3279, or you can go to our website, santafechamber.com, click on the calendar, and you can register for the event right there. This is Business Matters from the Chamber of Commerce right here at Talk 1260 KTRC. We're going to take a break. Back in a minute. Back to Business Matters from Santa Fe Chamber of Commerce. I'm Simon Brackley. I'm president of the Chamber. As always, I welcome and invite businesses of all sizes to join our organization. We have over 800 member businesses in Santa Fe. If you are a current member, thank you for your investment. Thank you for your support. And again, if you have a business, whether you work from home, one-person business, or whether you're a major employer, we invite you to join the Chamber. We have many, many benefits, opportunities where you can get involved in committees and volunteer activities if you'd like to do that. It's all about referrals. It's about finding you the resources that you need in order to thrive in business in Santa Fe. And with that, I'm going to introduce again Ryan Parker, who is business banking manager with Wells Fargo Bank. And Wells is one of our most important partners in town, particularly because Wells has stepped up and become the ongoing title sponsor for our legislative reception, which we host every January in town. It's a great event. We've just booked the convention center for next year. It'll be on Monday, January 28th, 2013, if you want to mark your calendar. We invite and host chambers and business organizations from all over New Mexico to come to the event. We invite all of the legislators to come out, and we have a great crowd. We have some great restaurants, serve some great food. It's at 5:30. It's on January 28th next year, and you can already register online at santafechamber.com. So, Ryan, I want to thank Wells for your ongoing support. You supported our golf tournament a few weeks ago, but you've really taken the lead in terms of our legislative reception, and I want to thank you for that support.
You bet. Thank you. It's an honor to be involved with that. We enjoy doing it every year. It's nice to know what we can be a part of and how we can be a part of it. We were partnered up with one of our good partners here, our good competitors in town, Los Alamos National. I don't want to let them not be mentioned. And in all fairness, they were the golf sponsor, and we helped out with the lunch. But it was a great event to be involved in. So thank you again for being part of that.
Well, thanks for your support. Now, let's talk about your involvement in the community. You know, Wells, of course, is a nationwide bank, but you're also involved in the Santa Fe community. Talk a little bit about how you're involved, the bank, and your staff.
You know, sometimes people forget, despite the fact that it's Wells Fargo Bank and it's a big bank, it really is. We're, you know, number four in the country. We all live and work here. I mean, our employees live here. They work here. We're involved in all of the different events. We're building homes with Habitat for Humanity. We're involved in the legislative breakfast. We're finding ways to support. Each one of our team members is encouraged and almost expected to put in a minimum of 16 community hours in a given year at minimum. So that's two full days where the bank says, you know, we appreciate your employment, but part of that is don't work here today. Mm-hmm. Go out and support the community. So we log our hours. We have some employees here in Santa Fe that have already logged over 100 hours in community service during regular working hours that the bank is supportive of. So we want to be involved. We want to help. We donate across the state over $1 million to charities. We try to do that. We want to make a difference. If the community does well, we will do well. We're really intertwined.
And I know you support a lot of nonprofits in town. They're such an important part of our economy, and they're a major employer in their own way, a local nonprofit. So on behalf of the community, thanks for your ongoing support.
Of course. Thank you.
Let's talk about your rewards. You are a career in banking. Talk a little bit about your background and what you enjoy when you go to work every day.
You know, it's funny. Most people, when you ask them, and this is the same for me, what got you into banking? Most of us didn't graduate college or you know, think when we were 5 years old, we were going to grow up to be bankers. Most people don't dream of the striped suit and the black shoes, but.
You didn't have a poster of Alan Greenspan over your bed when you were growing up?
No. In fact, I'm a soccer fan. I had a poster of Bayern Munich above my bed.
All but right.
Anyway, the benefits and the beauty of banking is you really do see and are involved, and you get your fingers in the community. You're constantly day in and day out interacting with me and my team is obviously business people, but on our retail side, it's personal. And then in our investment side, it's some of the leaders in the community who have over the years made a difference and saved up a little bit that they can do things with. So the true benefit to me in banking is I feel a part of something. I don't go to work and sit in a cube and go home. I go to work and I communicate and I try to help. And the beauty is when I'm able to prove a loan or when I'm able to look at someone's financial statements and make a difference for them. That's wonderful. There's the negatives that periodically someone may not qualify, and that's hard.
So let me turn the question around. What do you find challenging?
Well, the challenging is I think an honorable challenge in finding a way to get things done. We can't do everything. So there are a number of requests that come in where we'll spend hours and hours digging through financial statements. We actually, despite what people may think, want to lend money. We really do.
Yeah, and I hear that from all the banks in town. Yeah. They really, and they do have money available.
Yeah, we do. And we want to lend it out, but the challenge is we've all been through tough times in the last few years. And sometimes a financial statement doesn't quite reflect the risk that we may be willing to take at the time the request has come in. So we try to take a little bit of extra time to analyze and help the customer get to where they need to go. But it does provide a challenge. There's days when it's just, you feel like you said no all day. That's not a fun day. So you hope for those little nuggets when you get to say yes and make a difference.
Let me just ask about real estate for just a second. We're starting to see a little improvement in the local economy. We're fortunate that the unemployment rate is pretty low and there's some projects taking shape. You're starting to see some construction going on. Is this a good time to buy a house?
Boy, you know, I'm probably not the best guy to talk about residential. I do know the commercial market has stabilized relatively well. We're not back to where we were before. We have some work to do. But we're not seeing gigantic drops in the appraisals as they come in. They're still lower than where we or the real estate owners want them to be, of course. But we're not seeing the huge drops that we did from years ago. So it's still a concern. It's still something we watch very closely. It still needs to improve. It's not where we would like it to be. But we're seeing us hit the bottom of that curve, which we say the bottom. It's still positive to say, hey, we found the bottom. So we think we found that. And that's
so good. If someone is in a situation with a real estate investment where they're upside down, as they say, that they perhaps owe more than the building may be worth, should come in and talk to your banker, to you about, or not you, but your staff about that particular situation, potentially restructuring.
You bet.
I know there are some federal programs out there.
You bet.
In fact, a number of new ones, I think, have just been announced to assist people in that situation.
Yeah, especially on the residential side. The commercial side, we monitor it pretty well, and we know where they're at, but please come in and talk to us. We're not looking to kick anybody out. Like we said, a good customer who's a faithful person and wants to and is trying to do their best, we're going to do everything we can to help them. The residential side, we've donated billions of dollars to principal relief, to restructuring, to adjusting interest rates. We've done homeowner education seminars throughout the country. Some people have touted us as the leader in trying to make a difference for those that have been in a tough situation on the residential side. I hope we are. I hope we are, and I hope if we're not number one, hopefully we're in the top few. That should be our goal.
Well, it's in nobody's interest to see somebody get pushed out of their house. You don't want to buy the house. You're not in the real estate business.
That's a perfect point. People think, oh, it's great. You get this home. No. We're not in the real estate business. We don't manage home wells. In the month of August, Wells Fargo spent over $1 million on lawn mowing.
Just to maintain
homes we've received. We don't want to do that. We're not good at that. Our best interest is to have the person stay in the home, restructure the note where they can make their payments, and we all move forward.
Let's give you contact information. Someone wants to reach you at Wells. What's the best way to do that?
You bet. I'm at 241 Washington, right down the street from the plaza here in Santa Fe. My direct office line is 505-984-0419.
Excellent. Been speaking with Ryan Parker. He is business banking manager with Wells Fargo here in town. They support many nonprofits, many events, and they've been a great partner with the Chamber. And if you want to talk about your particular business situation, give Ryan a call and sit down and get the wisdom of his advice. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for that compliment. It was a pleasure.
This is Business Matters from the Chamber of Commerce. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back. This is Business Matters from the Santa Fe Chamber of Commerce. I'm Simon Brackley from the Chamber. I'm here every week on Talk 1260 KTRC, speaking with local business people, talking about all the different aspects of business in Santa Fe. In just a second, I'm going to be speaking with Jenny Kinsey, who is Executive Director of Vista Care Hospice. But first, let me remind you of our events coming up in September. Business Over Breakfast on Friday. We will be at the Courtyard by Marriott on Sirius Road. Starts at 8:30 in the morning. Business Over Breakfast, everyone will get a chance to speak. We need an RSVP to 988-3279. And then Business After Hours in September will be on Thursday the 27th at the Christa St. Vincent Cancer Center, which is on Zia Road over behind Albertsons. No charge to attend that event. It starts at 5:30 on Thursday the 27th. And then once more, just a plug for our advocacy efforts on behalf of Los Alamos National Labs. We are very busy advocating for the labs to maintain the funding up on the Hill. Critically important for our regional economy, and the Chamber is very involved in a regional effort, including Mayor Koss, by the way, to support funding for the labs and keeping those jobs alive up there. Okay, my next guest is Jenny Kinsey. She is Executive Director of Vista Care Hospice. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Tell me, what is Vista Care Hospice?
Vista Care Hospice is a subsidiary of Gentiva Healthcare, the largest healthcare provider in the nation. Vista Care is a small business owner locally. We're your friends, we're your family, we're your neighbors. We're here to help you at one of the most tenuous journeys that some of us face at the end of life. When a family is given the news of a terminal diagnosis, oftentimes they don't have a place to turn and they don't have a resource to help them and guide them through this process. VistaCare is your local guide. They're a team of professionals, social workers, nurses, physicians, spiritual care coordinators, grief counselors, all who work together in an interdisciplinary fashion to help you take that final journey.
I want to talk about the process in just a minute. Let's start off with your background. How did you get into the hospice world?
I was very, very fortunate that I had the opportunity for many years to be a family caregiver for my grandparents. My grandmother lived with me until 2001. When my grandmother had a sudden decline in her medical condition, there were many people who didn't understand what was happening to her. She'd been well. But there was a dramatic decline. And this is what happens so often with some of our patients, a sudden dramatic decline of a chronic condition. Something chronic becomes acute. My grandmother was hospitalized. She had all kinds of ailments. And she said at 92, I don't want any more intervention. And we had a physician who was a dear family friend who said, we're going to keep fighting the good fight.
Right.
And my grandmother said no more. It was a hospice chaplain who introduced us to the hospice benefit. He came in and he educated us about what hospice and end-of-life care means. No heroic measures. We'll make you as comfortable as we possibly
right,
can.
That's key.
And we're here to support you and your immediate family. And what was remarkable, that although our physician was an expert in healing, she didn't have the experience with end-of-life care. And so the physician was educated about hospice as well. That's how I was introduced. I lived in East Texas, and I was amazed that this benefit was free. It didn't cost anything. It was a resource that followed our family for 13 months at no cost, and we had psychosocial support. So I went around telling all my friends and family and neighbors about the hospice benefit. I guess I like to talk. My grandmother says I talk a lot, but I mean well. And so the hospice company heard I was out in the community talking about the benefit, and they said, hey, why don't you come to work for us?
So your personal experience influenced your career.
Absolutely.
Choice.
It was a gift. I think it was her legacy. And I went from hospice to being a long-term nursing home administrator and then back to hospice.
So let me ask, what does hospice provide?
Hospice provides several things. When a person receives a terminal diagnosis, there have to be two physicians that say this individual has a life expectancy of 6 months or less. Hospice will come and evaluate the patient for appropriate level of diagnosis and appropriate levels of care. Mm-hmm. We provide first a plan of care. It provides RN nursing visits throughout the week that is determined by the plan of care. CNA visits up to five times a week or more if necessary. It provides a spiritual care component. A spiritual care coordinator supports the individual.
Now, this can be in the home.
Yes.
In the initial stages.
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
In the initial stages and throughout all stages to the end of life, there are four levels of care. Routine home care, which is wherever the patient calls home.
Right.
It could be in a skilled nursing facility, in an apartment. And I was actually a part of a program in Texas that cared for a homeless person who lived under a highway. They facilitated hospice care to meet with that patient at a homeless shelter. So it's wherever the patient calls home. We also have critical care services or crisis care when a person is in rapid decline.
Right.
We have what's called general inpatient. If a person is in a crisis mode and they cannot have their symptoms met in the home environment, they can go to the hospital until the symptoms are controlled. And then we also have what's called respite care. When caregivers need a break or they have to maintain, take care of personal business or travel, the patient can go into a skilled nursing setting for respite care for the family and then go back home when the family returns. But the other services that we provide are physician services, social work support. We also coordinate, our social worker will coordinate with Santa Fe Community Services to provide home-delivered meals when that's necessary. We support veterans, so there are other partners in the community with whom we work to bring service to the patient.
So you'll help a family negotiate all of the different resources that are out there.
Yes, we do.
For the benefit of the individual circumstances,
yes,
whatever
we do.
It might be. Talk about the, I guess, the philosophy or the concepts behind hospice care.
The concept is that we want to make this journey as comfortable as possible for the patient. First and foremost, we want to help the patient go through those stages of grieving at the end of life. Their life is changing. Their independence is being taken from them, and life as they know it will soon be over.
Giving up control.
They're absolutely giving up control. So what we do in hospice, in that concept, is number one, the patient is the captain of the ship. We assess what does the patient need. We also attempt to meet the family's needs, because it is the patient and the family that drive the desire and the plan of care. The concept is also to keep the patient as pain-free as comfortable. Does that mean pain, emotional pain, physical pain, spiritual pain? The concept is, are you comfortable and are you ready to take that next journey? So whatever we can bring scientifically and in the way of resources, mm-hmm. human resources, that's what we do.
And when you talk about spiritual care, of course, there's a lot of different disciplines and backgrounds and beliefs and again, resources. Mm-hmm. And that requires sitting down with an individual, with a family, mm-hmm. to determine what is appropriate. Some people don't necessarily have a very active spiritual life, but if ever they will, it's probably in those circumstances.
That's correct. That's correct. All hospices that are working under the certification of Medicare are required to provide spiritual counseling. Now, we are non-denominational, although we may have a priest who's a chaplain or a Baptist preacher who's a chaplain. We are non-denominational. If a family already has a pastor or a religious person that they're working with, we'll also include them in part of that care plan. We'll ask them to consult with us. It really is driven by the family.
And in Santa Fe, we're fortunate to have a huge range of different disciplines and spiritual arenas and such like, and there's a lot of resources available here to assist with those kinds of advice and so on. Now, who are the team? Who is actually part of your organization that would help an individual or a family?
We have what's called an interdisciplinary team, and the core team members are the physician, the RN case manager, that's the lead nurse that's going to drive your care. She's going to be the conduit between the family and the patient and the physician and the rest of the team. We have a social worker that is part of that core team. We have a spiritual care coordinator that is part of that core team. And then there's also, I don't want to undervalue, because Santa Fe is truly blessed with many, many quality volunteers. There is the volunteer component. Every patient is entitled to up to 4 or more hours a week of volunteer services if they so choose. And we have a volunteer manager who helps determine the number of volunteers hours that are needed by the patient. We also have the CNA. I want to talk about our workhorses. They really carry the burden of caring for those patients every day, day in and day out.
Certified
nurses and
assistants.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And those CNAs, whether they're in the hospice setting, home health setting, or in the long-term care setting, have the most intimate contact with the patients and their families, and they can often see those first slight changes. So let's not undervalue the role of the certified nurse's assistant.
Let's give your contact information. If someone's listening, they want to learn more about VistaCare, how can they reach you?
Well, patient's care is delivered wherever the patient calls home, but we do keep an office in Santa Fe. We're at 1911 5th Street, Suite 100. When you walk in the door, we're the front door right there to meet your needs and receive you. We can give you all kinds of information. Our telephone number in Santa Fe is 505-988-5331. And we have someone available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year to answer your questions. And by that I mean, we don't know nighttime or normal business hours. Please call anytime you have a question.
Okay. So whenever a situation arises or whenever questions arise, you can always pick up the phone and speak with someone.
Anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And website?
We do have a website. It's www.vistacare.com. Because we are a subsidiary of the Gentiva Healthcare family, you can also go to www.gentiva.com.
Excellent. I'm speaking with Jenny Kinsey. She's the Executive Director of VistaCare Hospice, member of the Chamber of Commerce, provides an outstanding service here in Santa Fe. This is Business Matters from the Chamber. We're going to take a break in just a minute. Let me remind you, if you have a business in town or a nonprofit, no matter what size you are, you can join the Chamber. We invite businesses of all sizes to belong to our organization. We are completely independent. We are not a member of U.S. Chamber. Our board makes our decisions based on local issues. We do not get involved in federal issues. We're a Santa Fe-based and Santa Fe-oriented organization. We're going to take a break. Back in a minute. Business Matters from the Santa Fe Chamber of Commerce. I'm Simon Brackley. I'm president of the Santa Fe Chamber. I'm pleased to be here every week on Talk 1260 KTRC, speaking with Chamber members about their businesses, organizations, and services. And today I'm speaking with Jenny Kinsey, who is Executive Director of VistaCare Hospice. We've been talking about hospice process. Jenny, what makes a patient appropriate for hospice care?
Typically, a family will notice a decline or a change in a family member's medical condition. Maybe they're slowing down a bit. Maybe they've lost 10% of their body weight over a three-month period. The family will notice a significant weight loss. But there's usually an indicator, a change of behavior and wellness. A physician will determine, based on some of these indicators, that there's a existence of a life-limiting illness,
right.
And they anticipate 6 months or less. The Medicare guideline says we expect 6 months or less.
That can include a general decline in health.
That's typically known as failure to thrive. And old age in and of itself, I used to think that was enough, but really old age is not enough. There might be a cancer diagnosis, a Parkinson's disease diagnosis, Lou Gehrig's disease. My uncle actually just passed away with Lou Gehrig's disease after 10 years, and he was on hospice for 3 years. There may be kidney disease, liver disease. These are all things that are identified. Patient may not be seeking, and this is critical, cannot and should not be seeking curative measures. They've said, you know, I fought the good fight. Yep. I'm not going to fight anymore. I'm ready to follow this disease process. Families may also notice with an older patient many increased visits to the ER. If grandma or grandpa are falling frequently and you're seeing them have recurrent visits every 30 days to the ER, that's usually an indicator. And then if we are able to service, if a patient lives in within the hospice service area, because by law, we have to be able, a hospice entity has to be able to respond in an emergency within 1 hour.
Okay, so there's a geographic limitation.
There's a geographic limitation.
Let's talk about the financial implications. First of all, how is hospice reimbursed?
Most hospice patients, the vast majority of hospice reimbursements, receive reimbursement under Medicare Part A. A patient cannot be seeking curative measures and will not draw from the Medicare hospital benefit or the Medicare skilled nursing benefit. It is a Medicare Part A hospice benefit. Medicaid also covers reimbursement for hospice service, and many, many insurance policies such as AARP, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Cigna. If a patient has that policy, it may also reflect the Medicare rates. In some cases, and I have seen a large number of cases here in New Mexico since I've arrived, there are patients who simply have no resources.
Sure.
Every hospital, every hospice administrator has at their discretion the ability to take on a non-funded patient. I do try to take as many non-funded as I can, but of course, the more funded patients I have, the more non-funded patients I'm able to assume care. So there are those services available.
That's at the heart of the whole healthcare.
That's what it's
right
about.
Down. I'm not going to get into that
right
today. Let's talk about the interview process. When someone is considering or thinks that their particular relative or whatever is appropriate, they will sit down with you and do a sort of analysis of the individual needs. I'm going to go back again to the word comfort, because you used that a lot at the beginning to talk about physical mm-hmm. and spiritual comfort, but also financial comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurs to me, and it sort of sounds cold, but a huge amount of the money that people spend on healthcare during their life is typically during the last year or two. And so maintaining that financial comfort is part of that equation.
Absolutely. And one of the things that makes the Medicare hospice benefit unique is that it is the last 100% government reimbursed health benefit that an individual will actually access. What many people don't know is the average reimbursement for hospice is approximately, and I hate to put a value on a person's life, this is not putting a value on it, the benefit is actually between $23,000 and $24,000, according to current Medicare reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
If a patient lives up to 6 months and then passes away, you can expect that that $23,000, $24,000 will be gone. But we have many patients who surpass the six-month expectation. Everything you receive after that is considered gratis. The company cannot discharge you from service,
right,
and we care for you till, A, you get better, or B, you pass. And what's interesting is about 5% of the patients who come to hospice do graduate, we like to say graduate from care, and they go on to live an additional 4, 5, 10 years.
I also wanted to ask you about some additional therapies, I guess, occupational speech therapy, dietary therapy.
Yes, one of the things people don't know about is that we do offer physical occupational and speech therapy for patients to sustain level of comfort, sustain function as it is. These interventions are not used to make them better or to improve them, but help them sustain. For example, if a person has a disease process that causes their head to fall forward and they're not able to properly feed themselves,
sure,
it's a dignity issue.
Yep.
So we would call in an occupational therapist and a physical therapist to help strengthen so they can keep their head up. If a person's having difficulty swallowing, if we can help with speech therapy to help them, you know, regain some of that ability, that's what we're going to do because it's the right thing to do and it sustains the person's dignity.
And again, it's about comfort. Keep coming back.
Absolutely.
To that. Okay. I want to ask you just personally, and I think I know what you're going to say, but what are the rewards of your career and the position that you have at VistaCare?
There are are actually so many rewards. First of all, it is my grandmother's legacy. Being part of being a family beneficiary, having this career, and the most important thing, being able to be of service. I was in sales previously, and I was able to go in the community and talk to people about the hospice benefit. Now, as an executive director, I have the responsibility to sustain my team, mm-hmm. to make sure my employees get what they need so they can give the best possible service. And then to see, I sing a lot. I go out, and I'm not just behind a desk. I go and do opera and Broadway musicals and show tunes for residents at Santa Fe Care Center, Casa Real, El Castillo, Ponce de Leon. So I like to be able to reach out to families and spend that one-on-one time with the families and the patients, and to be of service and to be paid for it, the absolute best gig in the world.
Well, bless you for your service. It's very, very valuable. The flip side, what are the challenges? Obviously, dealing with death and dying is a very, very difficult circumstance.
One of the biggest challenges is that you never know how a family is going to respond to this terminal diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Meeting with families who have perhaps been estranged for many years, meeting with people who in their grief are more aggressive.
Yep.
You have to be adaptable to that. You have to understand meeting with people who don't want to talk at all, meeting with people who don't trust, just making that connection and doing it in a professional way and never taking it personally. I think that's the hardest, because you're there to serve.
Give your contact information one more time before we leave.
We are Vista Care Hospice of Santa Fe. We are available by calling 505-988-5331. You can also locate us on the web at www.vistacare.com or come to our office at 1911 5th Street, Suite 100 in Santa Fe.
Excellent. I've been speaking with Jenny Kinsey. Vista Care Hospice is the name of the company. You can reach them, as she said earlier, 24 hours a day. You can get someone on the phone for advice and information. Thanks for listening. This is Business Matters. We'll be back next week. Money, 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 money. We'll be right back.